This is a Niche Radio podcast. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or log into www.nicheradio.co.za.
Welcome back to the Come Join Us podcast channel. I'm very privileged this morning to be with Women in Power, Martine Solomon, which I've known for the last 8 years, and it's been quite an exceptional journey with us both. It started with 8 years ago with House of Fashion.
I am going to say it.
House of Fashion. We did a Women in Finance.
Global Women in Finance.
Exactly. And I helped them. I was still a skivvy. I was still very like, just say, oh, yeah, yeah.
Not in the least. I don't even know why you're saying that.
And I was just, I think I helped you on that event. Yeah. And we had such a draw. I absolutely loved it.
And
that's, I think, where we connected very well. And Martine and myself has been friends since then. Yeah. And she's been my mentor in some ways a lot as well for what I've been doing today. And I really admire you. And I'm really excited to be here and actually have an intimate chat to you to tell others about your journey.
Yeah.
So, Martine, how did it all start? I mean, where did you grow up and how did you get into the financial sector and everything? Tell us
all
more about
by
you.
All by default.
Okay.
And desperation sometimes.
No, I know.
To be honest with you.
Normally the best ideas comes out of the most desperate situations, I must say.
So, yeah, I think I didn't realize that my entrepreneurial journey obviously started very early in life as a child, you know. It started with selling newspaper, selling clothing at flea markets, et cetera, and then ventured obviously into the state-owned enterprise world, where I learned quite a bit and met loads and loads of people, and reached my glass ceiling very, 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 very quickly in the corporate sector. So in 2004, decided to leave the corporate sector and be a stay-at-home mom.
Okay. So you didn't have a gap year.
Not at all. Maybe a gap 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Because that's how long it lasted. I mean, I just had to take my son to school. I only had the one at that point.
Yeah.
But I had to take him to school and see all the mommies having fruitless conversations in the parking areas and moaning about all the other mommies just to realize that this is not for me. This is not where I want to be. And then embarked on building a family-owned financial services company that's still in existence today.
Okay.
But soon realized that my passion lied with the people in understanding financial, financial literacy. Because the more I was offering product to people, the more I realized that, number one, product was not aligned to the people's needs.
Yes.
And two, people were not understanding, you know, what they need to buy, where they need to go, to understand breaking the financial strain that are on the emerging market.
Yes.
And we can preach civil. I mean, we have to take the responsibility. You know, everybody looks at government to do stuff. So I started loving financial education.
That's amazing.
And I
which we have a big lack of, especially for women.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, I devoted a lot of my time and pro bono time at that point to educating people around financial education and, you know, just getting them to understand the basic stuff and not having that fear because, you know, as you know, I hate to use this word previously disadvantaged, but as black South Africans, there was a big fear around the money element or the lack thereof and still is today. And we need to be, in order to break that cycle, we need to empower and educate
and be proactive
about it, right? And we can't sit in our little corners anymore. So I loved it until somebody came along and said, listen, Financial Services Charter makes provision for financial education. You know, go out there and chat to the companies about what you can offer, which we did. And, yeah, five our companies, the youngest company in the group is the Mzansi Financial Education and Media, which is my baby. And we just turned 5 in May of this year, and it's been an amazing 5 years where we've touched hundreds of thousands of lives from a financial services perspective, from a financial inclusion perspective. And we can talk about all these buzzwords, but if we're not on ground doing the work, being with the people,
we're
fighting a losing battle. Yeah. So my focus, is entrepreneurship. My love is entrepreneurship, particularly because of the state of the country, we have to be very, very candid in understanding that our economy is dependent on small businesses. Bottom line, we're not doing enough, Sybil, you know, from a hierarchy perspective, from the top down, we're not doing enough. So we've got to take matters in our own hands, right? So very fortunate to be working with entrepreneurs around the country and in 11 countries in Africa.
Yes,
which is great. And I think our expansion will just be a little bit more from an incubation slash...
It's nice for networking.
Absolutely.
And helping others from different countries as well.
Absolutely.
Because we always think it's just us. No. You know, and it's not just us. No, it's all over the world. Absolutely. You know?
Everywhere. Yeah. You know, and people are struggling everywhere. It's not just here. So, you know, South Africans sometimes can be quite entitled around me, myself, and Irene. And we're just trying to...
Irene. It's funny. Yeah.
But we're just trying to break that cycle to say, stop now. Let's give you your pride back. And you pay it forward to the next person and the next person and the next person. So, yeah, that's in a nutshell.
That's solid. Yeah. That's exactly how it should be. And tell me, what is your main focus now as an individual? With you, I know you've got a few wizards in line and your group, but I know that in your main focus, you love education, but what do you really strive for? What's your long-term goal? Where do you want to be?
So we're looking at, our process is very driven to not only financial education, but being a social entrepreneurship hub that deals with all social elements. So women empowerment, kids, coding for kids. So it's all around the education, everything around education, but everything that is happening, that is needed for the future. Right?
So cool.
Just for, because, you know, we can preach future jobs and fourth industrial revolution, et cetera, et cetera. But if we don't have the programs in the outlying areas, we're never going to stand a chance to even get there.
It's like a life skill in
a way.
And I mean, I look at when I was at school, we didn't have stuff that showed you how to do your taxes.
No.
How to look at how your saving processes is. That's so crucial.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's amazing if you are impacting in different ways. That's not a typical school curriculum, which you can't get that from.
No.
And that's incredible.
So we're very diverse in our training platform.
Yeah.
So we've got training programs based for women, which whether you're in a stock fell, whether you need training just to learn how to sew, we've got training programs for that. We teach people how to, make handbags and beads and all of those types of things just to give them skill and just to be able to, create micro enterprises because in a macro economy, we also have to focus on the micro element. And if micro element is as simple as somebody just being able to sell a beaded mug that they're making in a rural area online on a platform that somebody in France might want and being able to put food on their table and put a child through school at the end of the day, right?
No.
So it's a very diverse portfolio that we run in terms of training, but it's all socially driven. It's all aligned to our core purpose, which is unlocking potential. And we have, our tagline is you have to be connected to the crisis in order to be connected
Absolutely.
To the cause.
No.
So you can't be looking at, I want to start a rally to, to eradicate, female violence against females. But the reason why females sometimes allow themselves to be abused is because they don't know how to get out of the situation and they're reliant on males in most times. So, it's we have to be connected to the crisis at the end of the day. So that's why we pride ourselves in being on ground in our communities on a daily basis throughout the country, throughout the continent, constantly speaking to people on what else can we do? What else do they need in their communities? Then we can go to corporate South Africa and say, this is what the community needs. Please come and have a look.
It brings me to my next question. I mean, a lot of women strive to be independent and really strive to, especially financially. Right? And if I can ask you one or two things where women can start, anyone, just to start being slowly but surely financially independent, what can they do?
So let me start by saying #Your man is not your financial plan. women
100%.
Women need to take ownership and say, you know what, even if I'm a stay-at-home mom or I'm running the household, I'm still a woman, I'm still independent, and I'm still contributing towards this entire relationship, right? Historically, we've been conditioned that the man looks after the finances, etc., etc. Yes. And that's flown through, from generation to generation, and that's still a common thread. So a lot of women don't get involved in financial talks, etc. But you know what, Sybil, we can unpack, and I mean, this is a topic that we can sit and talk about for hours. But the responsibility lies with the woman. You need to know that you're worth it. You need to know that you also, whatever you're doing, you're amazing, you're worth it, you're great, you have self-respect, and that will automatically
spill
over into the relationship, right? And it'll also set the bar for the man to know that in this relationship, irrespective of my wife being a stay-at-home mom or my life partner or whatever, not contributing financially, she does contribute in other ways. So that's point number one. When anyone starts a financial journey, and this is something that's very close to my heart. You know, we all go on these diets now and then. But before we can even go on a diet, we need to understand, what are we eating that's wrong, right?
Exactly.
What do we eat? What are we putting into our mouth that's blowing us up, etc., etc.? And the same goes with money. You can't start a money journey if you don't know what you have and what you're spending it on, right?
Exactly.
So my advice to anyone is, it takes 21 days to form a habit, right? And I always say, let's hold a money journal, right? Wait, for 21 days, I normally, 21 days is fine, but if you can push it for an entire calendar month, then fantastic. So for 30 days, to take a little black book, and we all love a little black book in our bags, and not this time around, not for phone numbers of hot guys, but actually to record the numbers that are going to make you hot one day, right?
Exactly. <Yeah. laughs>
To actually record your spending. So at the beginning, you're obviously going to take everything that comes in. So it's an income and expense statement, essentially. But very simple. Even if you're giving the car guard R5, you're going to jot down that you've given the car guard R5. If you're buying a Coca-Cola at lunchtime at work, put down that you bought the Coca-Cola. If you're buying a wrap every single day, if you bought your best friend a 40th birthday present, if you've gone out for drinks, put it down. Put everything down. You have to record absolutely everything. Number one, it psychologically helps you understand exactly what your spending patterns are.
Same as a diet.
Exactly.
You'll see what you're eating, what you shouldn't be eating.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you know what? As humans, we are so quick to say, I don't have any spare money to start anywhere or to get rid of my debt, etc., right? And then to actually be truthful with yourself and do the calculation and say, you know what? I've bought 24 Cokes this month. And I don't want to change anyone's lifestyle. If you like Coca-Cola, have Coca-Cola. But buy 15 next month. Right?
Exactly.
Be more. It helps you to be more conscious about what you're spending and what you actually can save on. And then it becomes an easy
And you never
process.
Know actually how much you can push yourself to save, eh?
Sybil. And it becomes addictive.
I know.
It becomes addictive. People don't understand that we all have addictive personalities in some way, shape, or form, right? And I always say, when you see interest, when you see money growing, and you've really, you're just being diligent about it, and you see your money grow, it is an extremely satisfying component, and it drives you to do more and more, and pretty soon you'll realize you start looking at investment opportunities.
Totally.
You've been on the journey.
Exactly how it happened to me.
Exactly.
I didn't have much. I started with a small business. I didn't even barely have enough for my month, but it's exactly what you said. The journal, I forced myself every month, R500 I put into my Allan Gray account, and it was in a stable fund, whatever. We looked at the different funds. And I promise you, that's still going today, and it's been since the World Cup.
Yeah,
when World Cup was here,
yeah.
I started that. And I've pushed it every time, every year that I can afford. I put more in and put more in. And now today, when you earn and you go on, you don't even realize you actually saving up, and I'm like, oh, you see, I've actually saved this up this far. And but you're so right. It's putting it down. It's making that leap. And yet again, like the diet, it is coming to terms. You are overweight. You have to go on a diet.
Yes.
You have to do this to cull it. Same principle.
Absolutely.
Same thing with money.
Absolutely.
Great.
And the moment we face our reality, and you know where you're wanting to go. This is, you know, my mother always said, your current situation is not your end destination.
Yeah.
So if you're going to cry and be in your little pity party for the rest of your life and you're overweight, you're going to stay overweight for the rest of your life.
Okay.
But if you're going to put action behind it and do research and, put the discipline behind it, that's when the game changes.
Totally.
Yeah. But we don't want that.
No.
And especially women. We don't want to hear that we actually need to put the discipline and the action behind
you're
it.
You're right. You're right.
It's a sore topic.
No.
It's
denial. I want to denial everything. Anyways, but listen, I know with the last few weeks that's passed in South Africa, it's been rough. I'm not going to deny it. It's some things that's touched me with the whole Am I Next campaign. Martine, if you were president, what would you do? That's what I want to ask you today.
Gosh, Sybil, you know, there's so many things in life there. Firstly, I mean, I don't even want to talk about the judicial system that's failing South Africa. We really, as government, we really need to look at our judicial system. Are we really, the punishment that goes along with a crime, are we really being fair? Because if you take a life, you should be able to,
No.
We need to look at our judicial system. I mean, I was at the Constitutional Court yesterday, and I found myself standing in the courtroom and saying, I pray that, our judicial system would be really looked at, particularly in terms of violence and murder and, all of those types of things. Because our country is really, there's no respect between humans at the moment.
No. And so, it's a fundamental cultural thing.
Absolutely.
And it's between all cultures. Not
absolutely.
Me.
It's not.
You can't everyone.
You
our
can't
whole society.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
toxic. There's toxicness.
It's toxic.
I agree.
So here's my take on it, Sybil. And I think, people that know me well and you know me extremely well, you'll know that I preach the same thing and I have been preaching the same thing since our democracy in 1994. Now, there's something called the psychology. And the psychology of man is very simple. It's tied in with what's happening around you. Everything you do is divinely orchestrated by your socio-psychology, right? Now, since 1994 and our democracy, yes, we went through truth and reconciliation. Oh, I'm so tired of that nonsense, to be very honest with you. Sitting in a courtroom talking about or standing there saying what you've done wrong. But have we really, where we failed our people is to actually have socio-psychology programs
mm-hmm.
to help people understand that you don't have to live in an amazing house in the northern suburbs of Sandton or wherever. You have to be grateful for what you have right now and start slowly. And it's not instant because remember what happened was it's like instant
That's the
oats.
Big thing. Instant.
Right? It's like everything. Yeah. Everybody thinks we're eating oats so easy every morning and we're throwing it into a bowl and just add water and boom. No, it's a process. There is work that needs to be done. There's education that needs to be done. There's socio-psychology elements that needs reversal. All of those things are extremely important in building cohesion amongst communities. And it's like you said, we're not singling out a single community yet.
No.
We have to build cohesion to look at World Cup. What happened with World Cup? We all united.
Massive unity.
Why did we not keep that momentum going? We had every opportunity to do it. But we segregated every single point. So my plea to South Africa is let's look at, just being kind. And yesterday, it was so funny. I had somebody send me an article on emotional intelligence, intellectual intelligence, or emotional quotient, intellectual quotient, which is IQ and EQ. So if anybody knows me, I keenly look at EQ because I believe EQ is what helps you be successful in life because
Probably.
You understand where the next person comes from. You have compassion. You have all of those elements. That is so critically necessary because essentially EQ is being able to see something from the other person's end, right? no matter what their social circumstances
100%.
Are.
How would they feel?
Correct. And it gives you that sense of respect. I mean,
totally.
Your EQ, you know, I always tell you, your EQ sits right up here. And that's why we connected.
Yeah.
Because I don't connect on IQ. I'm not an IQ. I don't connect on
I've
IQ.
Also never been.
I connect on
you.
EQ. Yeah. Because EQ is, are we aligned with our morals and our values and all of the things that actually matter?
No, totally.
And it, and,
more
and,
than
and,
IQ,
and do,
actually.
Exactly.
To be honest
and with you. Do we respect each other? Because respect is a fundamental part of EQ. But yesterday somebody sent me an article and I was so blown away because there's now something called LQ and it's love quotient.
Oh.
And we don't talk about this because everything is love.
Totally. But everything revolves
around
I'm
getting
it.
Goosebumps just talking
no,
about
totally.
It.
Totally.
Everything is love. If you love yourself, which is a starting point, and that is what we need to do from a socio-psychology perspective. We need to teach people to truly love themselves, right? And if you love yourself, you can't not
You're
love
right.
anything else.
Completely right. Right.
You can't.
Yeah, it is, and especially in the environment where this harshness or yeah. hectic murders, hectic rapes, everything, it really draws down to that. You're right. Is that there's so much hate.
Yeah.
There's not enough love.
Absolutely.
And it absolutely starts by loving the person next to you, asking them about them.
Yes.
How was your day?
Yes.
How are you feeling? And just taking two words with not being just in your zone of just me,
absolutely.
It again. And just say taking a breather and saying,
yeah.
this guy's also going through
absolutely.
A shitty phase. You know
absolutely.
What I'm saying?
Totally.
Yeah.
And if we can just love thy neighbor, right?
Exactly.
It all comes down
no,
to that.
It does actually. It does
it all
actually.
Comes down to that.
Yeah.
Love thy neighbor.
You know, Martine, our country, I think, has got unbelievably such amazing potential. And I was fortunate enough to go overseas this last month and went to Italy. Amazing country, old heritage, which most of Europe has. But Martine, I'm sorry I'm going to say it, the wine... I did not like. I loved our South
Yay!
African wine. I mean, the product. The food was incredible.
Yeah.
Absolutely, because that's Italy, you know. But even us, we have this incredible fresh produce in South Africa.
Yes.
And making food here as well, and small producers and everything. We are on par with the world, Martine.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
literally what we are doing as South Africans and empowering and helping each other
yeah.
to get there.
Yeah.
That's all
I
it
totally
is.
I totally agree with that.
And perception. The world's perception. And I must say, someone, funny enough, someone that was European told me and said, you think the world's got a perception of South Africa. The thing is, you think the whole time we've got a bad perception of you.
Wow.
Someone said to
That's
me that
comforting.
Was a European.
That's
and I was like, are you serious now? What you're saying here? Because I keep thinking we've got a bad perception for the world and with what's going on and our crime and everything
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
And she
yeah.
said, no. I personally think you guys must stop thinking that you have such a bad
wow.
perception and you need to start being more proactive, being
wow.
part of South Africa.
Again? Pride?
So,
yeah. All of that comes into play, right?
No, completely.
Yeah.
So I think there's such a big scope for us in the world and I think we can't even with the financial world,
yeah.
all I mean, when look at credit crunch came a few years ago, our bank systems were still
Absolutely.
Intact.
Absolutely.
I mean, the whole world was crashing down.
Look, we really have good infrastructure in South Africa. I mean, you know, I travel the continent quite extensively, and from a perspective of traveling the continent, but there's a big, well, one thing for me, I always have to say, so we might have all the amazing infrastructures and stuff in South Africa, and you know, ons almost ons lack of
Yeah.
But the rest of Africa, I mean, or the countries that I've been fortunate to travel to, education has been very high on the...
But that's a winning game.
And I'm telling you, it is comforting. So as South Africa, we need to look at our neighboring countries and invite them, you know, and stop all of what's going on right now, these xenophobic attacks and all of that, because we all want continent. And learn from each other, because we can, you know, I walked into a very senior person's office in Nigeria one day, and the first words he uttered to me was, "You're the first black woman to walk into my office from South Africa. And I'm very proud to have you here. Because we want to do business with South Africa."
Amazing.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Very senior.
They are
person.
Very open.
Very open. And we need to be open to our brothers and sisters. And we shouldn't be seeing borders. Because
no.
we live on an amazing continent.
Definitely.
A continent that is feeding the entire globe with resources. Yet we fight each other.
And it comes down to one thing again is love.
Yes, absolutely.
We need LQ. To spread more love.
Hey, we're hashtagging LQ from now on, guys. LQ.
I got it. Before we go, yes. I just want to ask you a 5-pointer quiz.
Oh!
Okay. So, what's your favorite holiday spot?
So, I'm a bush baby.
Okay.
I love the bush. And I love going off the beaten track. So, I don't...
You want to put your phone off?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, great.
Yeah, so if I am able to do my dream for this year as a holiday on my own is to do the gorilla walk in Rwanda.
Oh, but a friend did that recently, which is incredible.
So that's the type of...
Do it.
Yeah.
Do it. Favorite meal?
Woo!
What do you really enjoy? If I would tell you, this is not your last meal ever, what would you eat?
Biltong.
Okay, there you go. Okay, what's your soft spot? What do you have a really soft spot? It can either be a person, it can either be something that is very close to your heart. Books. What are you a real softy for?
Oh, books. Yeah, books is my...
You read a lot.
I do read quite a bit. I'm not close to my reading target where I should be because I just don't have enough time. But I am getting better at the audio stuff. But I love reading women biographies.
Yeah.
And my favorite one is 491 Days, Winnie Mandela.
Okay, fantastic. Mm-hmm. Tell us something that very little people know about you.
I love farming.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a farming passion. People don't understand the polished. That wants to dig. And
Son's going to study this next year. Right?
Yeah, so he's going into agricultural sciences, but alternative farming, which is great. That's the way of the future. And he completely understands that he doesn't want to, compete in the commercial farming world, but there is a need for smart farming, particularly because of the state of people going hungry on the continent. So, yes, I'd love to retire on a farm one day. Non-commercial, though.
Yeah.
I don't want the pressure of a commercial
farm. Go and sit on it and have a view.
And I want little animals that, I can go and feed every day and just do all of it. Yeah.
Martine, it's been an absolute pleasure
being here.
Thank you, Mikey. It's always great. And from the Come Join Us channel, we'll see you next time. Cheers.
For more, visit www.nicheradio.co.za.